These are the weekly security headlines from Daily Tech News Show for the week ending May 1st, 2020. I'm Tom Merritt. Tech entrepreneur Zach Edwards wrote a Medium post showing several sites send email addresses to third-party advertising and analytics companies during user signup. Google, Facebook, and Twitter's advertising units are among those who have received emails through this mechanism. JavaScript loaded on many pages collected information like browser type, device for analytics and ad targeting purposes. A referrer field often gives these third parties the URL prior to the page the script is loaded on. In situations where a user is clicking on an email confirmation link, the user's email address may be included in that URL and then subsequently shared with a third party in the referring URL. Zach Edwards says that Wish.com, MailChimp, and The Washington Post took action to remedy this problem quickly. Quibi says it has fixed the problem, but Edwards could not verify this, and JetBlue has not acknowledged that the problem exists. Growing Child magazine, Democratic data broker NGPVAN.com, and EveryAction.com are also identified as having the problem. The board of ICANN has voted to reject the sale of the .org registry to Ethos Capital, citing concerns on how Ethos would use the registry to pay down the $300 million in debt the acquisition would require. The Internet Society currently manages the .org public internet registry and announced plans for the sale in November. The deal also faced scrutiny from California Attorney General Javier Becerra, as well as several ICANN founding members. A survey conducted by the University of Maryland and the Washington Post found that nearly 3 in 5 Americans are either unable or unwilling to use Google and Apple's new COVID-19 infection alert system, currently in development, which could impact the app's effectiveness. Of the 82% of the surveyed Americans who have smartphones, around 50% say they definitely or probably would use such an app. Willingness among those reporting they are worried about getting sick is higher. 59% of survey respondents said they would be comfortable using the app to broadcast to others if they did test positive for COVID-19. A study by epidemiologists at Oxford University estimated that about 60% of an area's general population would need to use a contact tracing app that notifies users of exposure, along with other tactics like broader testing and the quarantining of the most vulnerable people, in order for the app to effectively contain the virus. Google announced new policies for the Chrome Web Store designed to cut down on duplicate entries and malicious extensions. Starting August 27th, duplicate extensions, extensions that have only a single purpose, like loading a single web page, and that abuse browser notifications will be banned, as well as ones that use keyword spam in metadata. Developers have until that date to update their extensions, with Google delisting those that don't comply after August 27th. Apple and Google are delivering the first version of their exposure notification API to selected developers working on apps for public health organizations. After this test round, the API is expected to be released broadly in mid-May. The updates come in the beta of Apple's Xcode 11.5 and iOS 13.5 and Google's Play Services and Android Developer Studio. Apple and Google will release sample code Friday. As factories, construction sites, and stores begin to reopen around the world, social distancing will still be required to keep the spread of COVID-19 under control. Reuters reports on computer vision software being used for compliance. Chicago's Pepper Construction is using software from SmartVid.io at a project in Deerfield, Illinois. Samarth Diamond Polishing Factory in Gujarat, India will use Glimpse Analytics. And two Michigan shopping centers will deploy RE Insights distance tracking software. Similar software has been used to detect helmet compliance at construction sites, as well as count people in shops, but distance gauging and mass detection are new functions. Amazon announced a pilot program in the UK, China, US, and Japan to verify third-party sellers to help reduce fraudulent sellers and listings on its platform. The program initially used in-person interviews but has switched to video calls in light of COVID-19 and checks the seller's ID against their application to Amazon, with Amazon associates also using third-party data sources for additional verification. The pilot project is in addition to the use of machine learning algorithms and human investigators reviewing applications, which Amazon says 2.5 million accounts from listing items in 2019 were stopped. Amazon says more than 1,000 seller applications have already gone through the verification pilot project. On April 7th, WhatsApp implemented a limit on highly forwarded messages, letting users forward these on to one user or one group at a time, down from 5. Facebook announced that since the change, the spread of such messages has been reduced 70% globally. WhatsApp previously limited forwards to 5 recipients in 2018, which it said reduces forwards on its services by 25%. Finally, Judge Timothy Kelly of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia approved the deal reached last summer that will see Facebook pay $5 billion to the U.S. Federal Trade Commission for privacy violations. The fine relates to Facebook failing to do enough to make sure third parties protected user information, including Professor Alexander Kogut, who shared Facebook user information with Cambridge Analytica without seeking user permission to do so. For more discussion of the tech news of the day, subscribe to DailyTechNewsShow.com. You can find show notes and links to all the headlines there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.